Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking today about a subject, I'll tell you, I have to deal with it so many levels at so many different times. It's clutter. Oh, do any of you ever have a problem with that? Sometimes I see people that don't seem to have any problems with it, and I'll go, I don't know how you do it. And my guest today, Debbie Lillard, has a delightful book called Absolutely Organized. Now, this is a mom's guide to a no-stress schedule and clutter-free home. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
I have to tell you, there were times when there was not much of clutter, but that was when I was single.
Right.
I got married. You know, then you have the kids and you have the dogs, and it just, I mean, I can even catch myself today going, I can't believe I just cleaned this up. What happened?
Right. multiplies, doesn't it?
It's incredible. And I often tell women when I see them, I said, forget it. You're going to live to be well around 120 plus years because you can't afford to die. You've got so much stuff that you got to catch up with. You're always going to be busy. I mean, that's why the males leave earlier, because they don't have anything to do. We women always have plenty of stuff. There's always a toilet to clean or something to do.
That's right. We keep ourselves pretty busy, don't we?
Never ends. Now, Debbie, you're a professional organizer, and I have a great deal of appreciation for you, because I know some other people who, that's what they will do, is organize people's homes, and what they've had to work with sometimes is just mind-boggling. You have your own family. You started your business in 2003, and you've been on HGTV's Mission Organization, and you've been written up in articles and have been on various shows. And when you came out with this book, I'm sure you had such a warm response to it. Before we went on air, I was telling you how much I appreciated the illustrations. The book is colorful. It's very, very well laid out, and you said you couldn't take credit for that.
No, I have to give kudos to the publishing company, F&W. This was actually published under the title Northlight Books, and I supplied the content and the ideas, but they had a layout artist, and yes, I was very happy with the look of it. Each of the chapters sort of reminds me of a magazine article,
mm-hmm.
which
very
I think
nice.
Is great, because we're trying to appeal to women and mothers and you know, who don't have a lot of time to sit down and read something that looks like a textbook, and nor would they be inclined to read something that looks like a textbook.
No, they're not. I mean,
so, and if you notice, the size of it, it's a small little guidebook size, and it even fits in your purse. So
yes,
if you need to take it with you while you wait for somebody's dance recital or dance practice or karate lesson, you know, you could take it with you and read a chapter on the go.
One of the things that you started off with in the book right away was a quote by Victor Hugo. He who every morning plans the transaction of the day and follows out that plan carries a thread that will guide him through the maze of most busy life. But where no plan is laid, where the disposal of time is surrendered merely to the chance of incidents, chaos will soon reign. I agree with that, but I also know what it's like, because I had one of those days today, mm-hmm. when every plan planned goes up in smoke. It just evaporates away.
Right, right.
And
we can't control everything in our environment.
No, we can't. But I agree with Victor Hugo, generally. You talk about planning things out, and this, I'm a strong proponent of that. I don't think you can do too much of anything without having a plan, unless you've been doing something so consistently you automatically do it without
right.
even giving it a second thought. But it is something we have to learn. And it takes time, but talk about the planning aspect a little bit. Let's go into that, because that is very good.
Right. Well, I agree with you there, too, and I love that quote by Victor Hugo, because I kind of grew up in an environment where everything was chaotic, There was no plan, and everything was sort of left to, well, whatever happens this day, we'll just kind of fly with it. So I like to plan things out. And even when there are those days, like you said, you had today where, you know, especially as a mother, and God knows anything could happen on any given day. But the nice thing to know is that if you do have daily routines and weekly routines, that after that one crazy day, you know, hopefully by the next day you can get back to a little semblance of order. You have a routine that you can get back to. And that's why I started off the book with a couple chapters about time management, because I think that's really where all organization starts. If you can't plan your day, plan your week, plan your month, then you're not going to be able to get to any of these other projects we talk about, you know, getting your filing system in order or organizing your house, or even something like planning a vacation. You know, you can't do that without sort of normal daily routines. So that's what I started with. And I think, again, the book is targeted towards mothers, and I think you sort of have two extremes in the mothers that I've talked to and interviewed. You have those moms who do work full-time, and they have just so much on their plate, and I really admire women who work outside the home full-time. I'm sort of in the middle there. I work part-time, sometimes in my home, sometimes out of my home, but if you're constantly running, you're driving kids to daycare and then coming home, and you've got to get dinner and homework and showers and all your other life stuff done, you know, between the hours of 6 and midnight, you've just got so much to do that sometimes they feel like they can't even take time out to plan things. They just have to keep running and running and running. And then you have the other extreme, the moms who are stay-at-home moms who maybe left a busy corporate environment. You know, most moms today had some type of full-time job before they got married and had kids. And it's a big transition to go to, wow, I have no place I have to be every day. I have no thing that's that pressing on my schedule. I could sort of do whatever I want with the kids at home. But that's disconcerting, too, because they're sort of like, I don't know where to start. So I've met moms from both sides of those extremes. And like I said, sort of what I came up with, okay, you've got to have a plan, you know, and I like to start from big to small. If you look at your month and you think, what do I want to accomplish this month? And then you can break that down into, okay, in order to reach that goal, then I've got to do this every week. And then there's those standard things that all moms do that just have to get done every week in order for your family to function. You know, and those are things like doing the laundry or the food shopping, you know, possibly cleaning the house every week or every other week. You know, those are just daily life chores, and you've got to think about that too. You know, am I the one that has to do that, or can I outsource it, or, you know, do you have children that could help out with those chores, or a husband that can do some of it? So it really pays to sit down and think it through and talk it through with your spouse. And if you are feeling like you're crunched and you're working full time and you just can't do everything, because I think that's a tendency with women, we just take it all on and don't say anything until we get to that breaking point. You know, it really does pay to put it on paper and think it through and say, you know, these are all the things I'm doing on a daily basis. What can we outsource, or what can we delegate here?
Right, and that's something that you bring out, is to have a planner, maybe a big magnet calendar that you can put somewhere on a wall. I think so many times, I know a planner has just been a godsend for me, and of course, when you're in business, that's something you automatically do. And I know a lot of people like electronic planners, but I'm one of these, I have to have something in my hand where I have a book and I write things down. And even then, sometimes things go amok. But really, that allows you, and I like the bigger planners. I know you had a smaller one that you used, but I like a bigger one that has sort of a month layout, too, because then I can say, all right, this is where I'm going to be. In fact, I even have one that I had to get that I put up on the wall, because sometimes I have to look at a year.
Right.
Look at a year. So we're all different with our needs, but having something visual that you can work with, that you can really have in hand, boy, I don't know how I'd get along without it. It's just absolutely amazing.
And especially in a family situation, because like you said, you know, when it was just yourself, you knew where you needed to be, you knew what you had to do, and you kept that in one planner. But when you're talking about maybe your husband's schedule or your children's schedule, and as they get older, you know, those schedules get busier. I've actually met with families where the husband and the wife both had electronic planners, where they kept track of things themselves, but they had no mutual, family calendar, as I like to call it, that you hang in the kitchen, where
right.
everybody, including the children, can look at it. And there was a couple times where he said, well, she didn't tell me that, so it's not on my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, mm-hmm. Here's a simple solution. Get a calendar from the office store and hang it in your kitchen so that everybody knows what's happening on a given day. And if you do forget to verbally tell someone, if you're in the habit of writing it on the calendar, at least they can walk by and see that.
Oh, I think it's so important. It really is. In today's world, there's so much push, as you've mentioned already. It's just absolutely incredible. Now, I know we have moms that are listening in, and you talk in the book about your mother raising 6 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband came from a family of 10 kids. And I just look at that and I think, gee, for a woman to get through that, how she maintains her sanity, I don't know. I know what my husband's mother did. Anybody step out of line, they knew that they had a pretty heavy sentence of one kind or another that was going to come down on them.
Right.
But she really did have her, and she had to work. And that was before we had a lot of the amenities we've got today. She didn't have a dishwasher, so the kids were all assigned chores and they had to get things done. Because she was working full-time.
Right.
And your mom raised 6 kids, and gee whiz. I mean, you say in here that when your mom found something that worked, she stuck with it, and her pediatrician had a plan for every baby.
The famous doctor schedule.
Holy Moses. I don't think they do any of that anymore.
No, it's very funny, but that doctor schedule is sort of a legend in our family. And what's funny is that I have met other women. When I got married and moved, I don't even live in the same town where I grew up, but I moved a couple counties over. And the girls in my mom's club used to laugh at me, like, "Oh, Debbie's got her schedule. Her kids are. It's 2:00. Debbie's kids are taking a nap," And they would
mm-hmm.
laugh and say I was so regimented. But then another mom came along, and she had this similar schedule. And I said, "What pediatrician did you go to?"
Uh-huh.
And she told me the name of it. It was the exact same pediatrician, and she was from South Philly, because the doctor was located in Philadelphia in the city. And she said, "You know what we did? We typed up the schedule. I handed it out to all my cousins, and that's what my family did, the same thing." So this man is somewhat legendary in this area.
Oh, but, boy.
But, it was one of those things. This is what my mother told me to do, and it worked for her, and, so we passed it along.
You have some real good ideas in here. Now, we're talking about when you have kids, but I'll tell you what, I don't have kids. I've got 2 Scottish Terriers and a husband at this time,
mm-hmm.
but the clutter just is amazing because the patterns of just dropping things or letting things be. You have some good suggestions in here regarding the kids, but something that you've got a visual of in your book is a stair basket.
Yes.
And I thought, that is really a good idea. Talk about this stair basket. I don't know how many of my listeners have 2-story homes or have stairs, but this is great.
Yeah, and it's one of those great little simple solutions. It doesn't cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I got mine for $25 from Lily and Vernon. Way back when I first got married, because we did have a very tall house with 3 levels and lots of stairs. And, of course, when I first had babies, I wasn't taking those stairs all day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very simple. It's shaped like a step. It sits on your steps. And what I do is, during the daytime, if I find things that are in the wrong room and I say, oh, this just goes up in one of the kids' bedrooms, or I want to take this up to the bathroom, everything just goes in the stair basket. And then we have the routine every night when we go up to bed. We carry the stair basket, and used to be that I would take everything out and get it to the right room. If I had the time or inclination, I would put it in the right drawer or right shelf. Sometimes if it just got to the right room, that was enough. But now that my children are older, I have them help me disperse everything.
Mm-hmm.
I say, look in the stair basket. If anything's yours, take it to your room. So they're, taking that responsibility a little at a time. And it's also great for straightening up real quick if company's coming over. You just do a quick run through the main level of the house and take anything that's out of place. And, sometimes there might be things upstairs that you need to take downstairs in the morning. So it's just a vehicle. And I find that a lot of people who do have stairs in their home will pile things on the steps anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put papers there, they put just little items that, oh, I need to take that up, I need to take that up. But rather than having your whole staircase cluttered, everything's in one little basket. And like I said, as long as you get in that habit of emptying the basket every night and every morning, you know, it's a good thing to move things, or good vehicle to move things around the house.
Well, what I like about it is safety, because there was a time, and I know until my husband had an accident falling downstairs, if you have kids or dogs, I mean, toys will end up on the stairwell, and someone, if they leave it there, it's not very safe, because
right.
you can step on it, you can slip, you can slide, and it can be a big hazard. So the stair basket, if you know, you have that, you can just put those items there, and just like you said, then redistribute them. So for safety, I think it's great. You had another tip that I thought was wonderful. And this has happened to me so many times, and in a million years, I wouldn't thought of doing this, and I just think it's great. You say working from left to right, and you talk about being in the kitchen. Let me tell you, folks, this is a great idea. If you're making a recipe or doing something, put everything on your left, all of your ingredients, and once you've put it into that recipe or you're working with it, then you move it to the right. And so, you know, when everything on the left is moved over to the right, you're done. But what is so neat is you say if you're interrupted, you'll know what you were doing at the time you were interrupted, whether it's a phone call, a kid's had an accident outside,
right,
or whatever. How did you come up with this? This is just terrific.
Someone told me that sounds like a tip that their grandmother would tell them.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's just, it's, you know, it's the way that my mind works. I have a very linear sense of doing things, and so I just sort of developed it, and I use it, like I said, doing recipes in the kitchen. Even for my morning bathroom routine, I take all my bottles and you know, lotions that I put mm-hmm. on a regular basis, and they're on the left of the sink, and then once I put them on, they go to the right. Sounds like a little assembly line going on in my bathroom, but you know, as a mom, again, this is why I geared the book for moms. We are constantly interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times where I've been in the bathroom and a child calls me or the phone rings, and you know, if you ever had one of those days where halfway through your workday, you're thinking, oh my gosh, did I put on deodorant this morning?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's usually on at a time where you've been thrown off your routine. But if you use that process, then you would have known while you were in the bathroom, oh yeah, my deodorant's still sitting over here on the left. I mustn't have put it on yet. So I use it also on my workspace. I have a desk that's in the family room downstairs, and all my to-dos are on the left side of my desk. And once I've done that, and sometimes you know, something has to go out the door, I've got to mail it, then that's sort of to the right of my desk, because I've done my part, now I need to get it out, pass it on to the next person. Or if I've made some phone calls and I have some visual reminders that I want to keep out on my desk, but I'm waiting for someone to call me back, or I'm waiting for a reply, that will go to the right of the desk.
Well, I just think that's a marvelous tip. I really
And I
do.
Would guess if you're left-handed, you might want to, and you might feel more comfortable going right to left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right-handed, so...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's more comfortable.
I think that's absolutely great. Now, you talk about holidays. Here we've got the Easter season coming up. Kids and family are, the kids are on spring break. Mom isn't on spring break, but the kids are.
Right.
And you've got all of these various activities that many families are going to be involved with. And then, of course, the holiday season later in the year when you've got Christmas. Well, you've got a whole slew of them. You've got Halloween, you've got Thanksgiving, you've got Christmas. Give us some tips on how people can manage to get through that a little bit more organized.
Okay. Well, in our family, Christmas has always been the big time of year, and that always hits me as, wow, there's so much to do to prepare for Christmas. But, it, you know, you could apply this process to whatever is the big deal in your family. It might be a summer vacation, a big family vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. But, again, you know, you plan it out. You look at what needs to happen by that date, the date you leave on vacation, or if Easter is the day or if Christmas is the day, what needs to happen by that time. And you break it down into functional, you know, tasks that you have to do. For instance, Christmas, you know, we do decorations around the house, we send cards, we buy gifts, we plan big elaborate meals. So I decide, okay, the first thing I want to do is get the decorations up on the outside of the house. and this, again, could be for whatever is the big holiday in your family. So I do that maybe 4 weeks ahead of time, and then it's done, and I can sort of forget about decorations and go to the next item. If I'm going to be sending some greeting cards, then I get my list, I print out the labels, I get the cards, and that's done 3 weeks out from the event. And it's the same, you know, if you're planning a big special event. So that's 3 weeks out. And then if you are planning a meal or buying gifts, which is obviously a big thing around the Christmas holidays, make a list. Who do you need to buy for? A budget about how much are you going to spend on each person? And then maybe some ideas of where you need to go to shop so you can sort of efficiently shop as opposed to just, oh my gosh, it's Christmas time. I have to run out to the store every free moment that I have and just look for whatever. You've really got a plan. You've got it on paper. If you know what stores you're going to, you can even collect coupons for that store. There's so much available now, online coupons, or, you know, if you have credit cards to the different stores, sometimes you'll get special offers. So maybe plan your shopping for 2 to 3 weeks out of, you know, away from the big day. And then if you're talking about a big family meal, talk with your family members, decide where is it going to be, who's going to host. Doesn't have to be the same place every year, but sometimes families like that. And then talk about who's going to bring what. There's no reason why, if you're hosting the big Easter meal or the big Christmas meal, that you have to do everything. Maybe you make the main entree and then have someone else bring the hors d'oeuvres or someone else bring the dessert. So, you know, that's what it's about in families, is everybody sharing the workload.
Go ahead. Well, what I was going to say is that is so important. But you've got one chapter in your book that when I read it, I put the word ugh too much. And that was, and I know you figured it out, it's the paper pile keeps growing. And I'll tell you, I have gone through and I feel so good and so efficient and everything's fine. And within a week, it's like, where did all this paper come from? Oh my gracious, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And I'm telling you, it is absolutely amazing how our paper piles keep growing and growing and growing. It's like they have a life of their own.
Yeah.
Paperless society we're supposed to be in, no
right.
way. Okay,
right.
Let's talk about this, because I know a lot of people listening have the very same problem. Now.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I have to say, paperwork is, and I've talked to other organizers, too, paperwork is the number one area where people feel overwhelmed. They have too much of it. It creates too much clutter, and they call in the professionals. What do I do with all this paper? So it's very common.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that is, you know, someone in their business or a mom in their home, it doesn't matter. And, yeah, I laugh because I worked in corporate America in the 80s and late 80s, and everyone was talking about, oh, with all these computers, we're going to be paperless. And sometimes you feel like it's even more now because we have such an abundance of information coming across our plate every day. But if you have, you know, I always say this with any organizing project, it's a project first, and then it becomes a process. So if you're at the point where paper has taken over your home or your office or your life, to start the project, I recommend you get it all into one room to really see the magnitude. And if that's, you know, if that's not physically possible, then you go through one room at a time. But the whole time, you know, making that decision, where am I going to keep this paperwork when it is organized? Do I have a room that we call an office? Do I have just a desk area where I can keep, you know, my active paperwork, and then maybe a storage area where you could keep things like your tax returns that you're saving for 7 years. That doesn't have to be right there in your file drawer in your desk. If you're just really saving it just in case of an audit, that's something that can be packed away and stored. But definitely to get it all into one spot and just know that you're going to have to make every piece of paper is like a decision. And I think that's the hardest part for people about keeping their paperwork straight. They know that you have to decide, what do I need to save this, first of all? And a lot of people, you know, when I'm working with them, I don't know. Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of have to break down those decisions. And then if I am going to save it, what am I going to call it, and what type of file do I save it? And you have to be careful, because you can either have files that are too general, like a file that's called taxes. And if you put everything that is ever related to your tax return in there, it's going to be a pretty big file. But then some people have the problem where their files are too specific, And so every piece of paper that comes in, they have to create a new name for a file. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have a file that's business trip to Chicago 2009, you know, that there might only be three pieces of paper in there. So there's a happy medium. You know, if you can make a file that's general, like, you know, charitable contributions, that's something that almost everybody needs to keep track of all year for their tax return. Or if you're someone who has to itemize medical expenses for your taxes, create a file called medical expenses, and that's where you put all your receipts. You know, if you're a mom with children, I have a file that I've had for years just called kids activities.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had one child, and it was, you know, she was preschool, that's all I had, as far as I had to go, kids activities. So every time we got a paper for a little class or something, I'd put it in there. Now that they're older, I have one file for each of my three children inside that. So now it's separated by child. And, you know, so that's just along the same ideas, like not too general, not too specific, and maybe start with a general and only get specific if the file starts to get out of control or get too big.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I know that a business professional did, and I agreed with him with what he did in part, is if he went through, and fortunately he had the time to do this, but he went through every single piece of paper that he had stored. I mean, he had box upon box upon box of records, and he scanned them and put them into a computer file. And he said then he just shredded these documents, and he had all the computer files. He told his wife, he said, if there's a fire, you know, get the little memory stick and take that with you, and forget the house. Don't worry about it. Save everything that comes off the computer. And so we chuckled about that, but I thought that really that can be very useful if you are able to do something like that. Now, that will take time, and, of course, it's a good idea if you're going to do something of that nature that maybe have someone helping you out to make sure that you... you know,
right, and I would caution, too, that you want to make sure before you scan all those pieces of paper and that they are absolutely necessary to save.
Right.
And that you can't get that information from any other source.
Right, and I think
that is very important. Right, and that's where the decision-making comes in. Is this a vital piece of paper that no one else could ever get a duplicate of? You know, and we know that nowadays with a lot of bank accounts, credit card statements, utility bills, for the most part, you could go back to the entity and say, you know, can I see a copy of my bill or can I see a copy of my statement from this month and this year?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
A lot of these pieces of paper are replaceable. But another thing that after you go through that project of going through your paperwork, deciding what to keep, what you can toss, you know, obviously what you need to shred because it's got information on it, that's vital. For the ongoing process, again, I like simple solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So what I recommend is for every piece of paper that comes into your house new, whether it's through the mail or through the kids bringing it home from school, on a daily basis, you look at it and make that decision. Is this something I need to do? Is it something I need to read through? Is it something I need to file? And then if it doesn't fit in one of those categories, it's pretty much recycle.
Well, I agree with that. And you say find some attractive boxes. If you have, you know, you're very, very busy, and if you have a box that you can put bills in, the bills go in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a box of this has to be taken care of, or maybe you say within a week this has to be taken care of, or things need to be filed, then you have something that's filed. It has to be filed. So you can have those particular boxes, and having it convenient, I think, is very important. So
Right as
it comes in through the mail, if you're like me and you have a P.O. box and you have to take a satchel because you'll have books from authors, you'll have all kinds of things, but you bring it in and you try to go through it right then and there, and you have your tools, whether it's a letter opener or whatever you need, and then you can put it in the boxes, then you've got it, because it's so easy. And I've been guilty of this, because I'll get sloppy at times, and I'll forget that I put something down somewhere, and then I go, oh, good grief, and then I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying
mm-hmm.
to find it. So your book is just loaded with so many good ideas. And we all deal with this at one time or another. And maybe if we're neat and tidy, we have a spouse, we have a kid that's a clutter bug or a hoarder or something like
it
this.
It usually happens that way. I find a lot of odd couple situations.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So this is really a wonderful suggestion, whether you're by yourself and maybe you're a clutter bug big time, or you're a hoarder. This gives you some wonderful stuff to work with. Absolutely Organized is the name of the book. Debbie Lillard is the guest. Space2share.com is her website.
Space to spare.
Space to spare. I'm sorry, I can't even read my own writing.
That's okay.
Space2spare.com is her website. So that's SpaceToSpare.com. Well, Debbie, you've given me some wonderful ideas with your book, and I know my listeners would benefit. So I encourage them to get it, and thank you so much. It's been delightful having you as a guest.
Okay, Donna. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, if you want to get organized, this is springtime. What a great time of the year to get things together. So go to her website, space2spare.com. This is Donna. We'll be taking a break. We're going to come back right after these messages.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, it's Donna. Telephone lines are now available if you'd like to call in and chat with me. Here is the telephone number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. All I need from you is your first name or your initial when you call in. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from. And then just relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything or anyone that you're interested in finding information about. Again, 888-815-9756. Now, I want to be sure to remind you, if you have a special story regarding the paranormal that you would like to share in an upcoming book. I'm putting together 100 stories. I'd like to hear from you. You could send it to me via email at donna@delphiinternational.com. donna@delphiinternational.com. And I'll be glad to put you in the collection that I am acquiring. And who knows? And be sure you put your contact information along with the story, because that's going to be very important. But if you'd like to be considered for the book with your special story, whether it's about a ghost or something else, I would love to hear from you. If you wanted to send it snail mail, send it to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 9-7272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. And don't forget, for those of you living in Western Washington, the Emerald Spiral Spring Expo is happening this Saturday, March the 27th, from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. It's being held at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. It's totally free to the public, and there are going to be some wonderful people there, including yours truly. I'm going to have a booth there. I'll be doing many consultations, and I'll have an abundance of books that you'll be able to choose from. I'm purging my library, and these events give me an opportunity to enable you to choose from these books if you so desire. And also, I just am excited because there's always so many wonderful people at this expo. It used to be called the Boeing Parapsychology Expo, and they've changed the name this year. So, it's the Emerald Spiral Spring Expo. Tell your friends about it. Come on out. Go to their website, emeraldspiral.com, and that's where you'll find out more details, emeraldspiral.com. Okay, now, I had started giving spring horoscope information out. I'd managed to get through Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. So how about if I give you Cancers, Leos, and Virgos some information about the upcoming quarter? You know, if you're concerned about romance and family, you're going to find that you have got a lot of responsibilities on your shoulders this spring. But if you're patient, you're going to find you're going to be able to get through it, even though there is a lot on your plate of activity. Money and career, you're really going to be a very careful shopper. You're wanting to make the best deals, getting the quality for the best price of whatever it is that you want to buy. So you're really also going to be looking at how you can invest in yourself so that you can see options for career opportunities. And with travel, you are going to find that you have an opportunity to really grow and expand just by doing things that might be in your local area. It's like opening yourself up to new social activities that perhaps you didn't think you would want to give time to, but maybe your budget's a little bit tight, so you're having to be a little innovative in your planning, and that'll work out very nicely for you. So for those of you in Cancer, spring is going to be dynamic with a lot of activity. Now, for those of you born under the sign of Leo, you are going to find that if romance is what you're seeking, it looks like the spring months are going to be ripe for expression and opportunity. And you really are going to want to have a chance to change your patterns a little bit. You want more social interaction with other people. When it comes to money, you're really going to be very thoughtful. You've got expensive tastes, but I'll tell you what, you're not afraid to say no to what you have to say no to rather than getting yourself into the debtor's box. So you are going to be very conscientious, and you are going to want to really make sure that wherever you put your money for investment, it is going to be something that's going to compound in the right way for you. The love of travel and the desire for adventure is really going to be in your blood this summer season, actually for this year. There are many things you'd like to explore, and often you may even want to enter into contests or do things that are sort of got a little bit of risk to them, not much, but it gives you a sense that you are trying something new and different. And you're going to be able to do the traveling that you want. I have one more sign, Virgo, but we've got a caller on the line. So all after our caller, then I'll get to those of you that are under the sign of Virgo. But let's go to our caller who's on the line right now. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. This is Ann from Detroit.
Hi, Ann. In Detroit, is it warming up there?
It was beautiful today.
Oh, I think spring is kissing everybody with a big smooch today. Because it's glorious here in the Pacific Northwest. We couldn't ask for more perfect weather. Absolutely amazing. Well, I'm glad you've got some beautiful weather where you are, too, because I know in Detroit you had a tough time during the winter.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as last year, but it wasn't a lot of fun.
No, it's just what comes with that part of the country. That's all.
Yeah, sure does.
Okay, and the first thing I'm looking at with you is it's time for you to give some time to yourself. What I'm observing is you are pretty drained, and there is this awareness that you need to give yourself some tender, loving care, but you go, well, how am I going to do that? I've got so many things over here to my left, and I've got so many things over here to my right. And if I don't take care of these things, they're not going to get done. And I don't disagree with your feelings. I'm not asking you to run away from responsibilities. But I do believe that you can prioritize. And there may just be a need to say, I am not available for 2 hours on Saturday, let's say. Or maybe it's during the week. And you just say, I'm not available on Wednesday night. Or like one guy I know years ago, he'd take one day a week, and nobody could reach him on that day. He would, unless it was someone that was very, very close to him. He just, no, I'm not available. I have people coming at me from all kinds of directions. So he would take off a Wednesday every week, and then people got to know that, so then they would schedule their need of him, because he was very much a public person. But he said, it's my time, and he would spend it with loved ones that he wanted to do things with, or maybe just go fishing. But he said, it's my day. I am not going to be looking at a planner. I'm not going to be looking at a clock. And he did that. I know another guy that would plan on 3 or 4 vacation periods a year, and people would say, how in the world can you do that? He said, well, I get more done when I get away from everything, when I turn everything off, and I just close down and just have some time. So whether it is 2 hours a day, or it could be 3 or 4 weeks a year, the choice is yours, but you're the one that has to make the decision. But you really need this for yourself, because you have had some emotional situations that have been very draining for you, and you need to be able to rebuild your own energy. You need to be able to do what you need to do for yourself. That's very important. What's on your mind, Anne? What would you like to ask me?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was wondering if you could give me some insight into a particular situation I'm having. I did business with someone who turned out not to serve my best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a lawyer. He is a lawyer. And I believe he was very dishonest with me and took advantage of me. And when he sent me an invoice, I decided not to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And not surprisingly, he's now taking me to small claims court. And I just wanted to know if you could give me, just like I said, any insight into the best way for me to handle this.
All right. Let me ask you, first of all, how long ago did this occur?
2 years ago.
All right. If it was done 2 years ago, I want to ask you another question. Did you keep records on everything?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. That's superb. Why did you not send him a formal letter regarding non-payment?
I was very angry, because it was the particular situation that he was supposed to be helping me with. It was, the situation was so draining on me. It was so traumatic and draining, and he knew it. And I just felt like he kicked me when I was really down.
And how much?
Okay,
excuse me. I'm interrupting you for a reason, because I know we're going to go on a break in just a minute. How much money was involved here? Was he billing you $5,000? What was the amount?
Oh, no. No. Actually, it was about $600, $650. If it was in the thousands, I would have probably handled it differently.
All right. Let's take a break, because I have some suggestions for you. Let's take a break here, because I think this is actually going to be very easy to resolve. I wouldn't sweat any bullets over this. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be coming back and talking with Ann. And just know, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756 is the number to do it on. Okay, we're going to take a break, Ann. Stay with me, and when we come back, I'll give you some suggestions.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. We're going back to Ann. Ann, are you still with me?
I sure am.
Wonderful. All right. He has made a statement after 2 years that he's taking you to small claims court for this amount of money. I believe you have an excellent chance of winning this situation, but you're going to need to go back through every single bit of your record keeping. If you kept notes on things, and you need to get out of this, because what we're dealing with is business, and that's something that when you are in the small claims court, you have to remember there's no emotion here. You've got to keep the emotion out of it. You have to deal with the facts. And you should be able, within 7 minutes, to say, this is what occurred. This is what I was billed. This person responsibilities were X, Y, and Z. This person did not perform. Consequently, no payment was made. So now I'm doing this very simplistically. We don't have time to go into all the details. And if you wanted to talk to me privately about this, we could. But on air, I'm not going to do it. But what you need to do is keep things in a linear pattern, which he's not going to be expecting. And you must get your emotions out of it. Because if the job performance was not done, and it was clearly expressed that XYZ was to be taken care of, and that he as an individual, as an attorney, did not do XYZ, then he's going to have to prove that he did.
Ah, that's true.
So you need to be of a state of mind that this is going to be cleared, because this is something, it's important to clear the air over this, but it is business.
Right.
It is business. So you need to get your emotional stuff in your mental garbage disposal and talk about the facts. And that's why you need to go back, if you have everything documented, if his action was not there, and you can prove it was not there, and this is why you did not pay, because then ABC was the result. You have to be linear like he will be as an attorney. Now, times are tough, so if he's waited this long to come to you and say, well, now you owe me this money, that is inappropriate. I do not know if there is a time limitation regarding it. Let's say there might be, in your state, there might be a three-year period, so he's getting it in before the 3 years are up and
right.
taking you to small claims court. All right, but I think that this is going to be, believe it or not, a phenomenally positive experience for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think my emotions are in check. I just appreciate your advice so much that I didn't think you could hurt.
Well, thank
you.
I really appreciate that you have that confidence in me. But again, it's the type of thinking, hon. And it, when you can depersonalize it, and when you can run it through in your mind and say, if he tries to push a bunch of emotional buttons, I have the facts in front of me. If you go in front of the judge and say, I feel like he did this to me and he did that, you don't have anything. This judge doesn't know you from local bocal of, on the corner selling hot dogs. He just doesn't. He's got all of these cases that are in front of him every day, so he wants the facts.
Yeah.
And that's how you will go in and present yourself and go in, be dressed attractively. Don't go in a jeans and a sweatshirt. Dress attractively, present yourself well, and say, I am a responsible person. I do not ignore bills. This is the reason why this is happening. And he may let you speak first, or he may let the other guy speak first. You don't know. So you have to be prepared.
Okay, Donna. Well,
and make sure it's like on a one or two sheeter. You have to have your notes in front of you. So have everything itemized out for yourself.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and I think you'll surprise your attorney friend. He's not going to be expecting that out of you.
I don't think so. I've been pretty quiet. So I
good.
Think,
stay
I think
quiet and
surprised.
Do your homework.
Okey
stay
dokey.
Quiet and do your homework. Thanks so much for the call, dear.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna. We're going to be going to our next caller who's been waiting very patiently. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, please. And where are you calling from?
Oh, St. Frank from Long Island, New York.
Oh, hi, Frank.
Hi. I just want to say thank you for taking my call, and I love that you do this. It's so helpful to me.
Oh, I'm so glad. Did you have a special question for me?
I do have a specific question that's sort of been troubling me for a while. Now, back in November, I discovered that I could feel energy, and I took a class. And in this class, I met a person who's very sensitive to energy, and she told me all about Reiki, IET, all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
So she recommended that I start with Reiki. So before I took the class, I took a, I didn't take it, I went to a healing circle. I went to one, and I went to another. Something didn't feel right about it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Mentally, it made sense. But something to me was drawn with IET. So I called every radio program, including yours, and it was more about this intuitive feeling. And so IET felt right, so I took IET, and I loved it. Now, I told the person I took this class, and this is what they wrote. And it's not so much a problem between the energy work, it's what this is about. And I'd like to read to you, and you tell me. Well, first let me read this. Reiki requires you to actively participate in self-healing. You don't want to. IET is such that it is very difficult to work on yourself, but the connections give you a wonderful feeling of peace. I told you before, there are no shortcuts. You have to do inner emotional work, and you do not want to go there. This is very trying and difficult and requires you to feel. really feel and work through emotions that you have hidden for a long time in order to release them. IET will not help you with this, not unless someone works on you. You can't do it by yourself. It is no picnic to deal with emotional release. Now, my question is, what are the emotional things that I'm not dealing with? I know a long time ago when I lost my job, my house, my fiance, everything, and my mom had passed like 2 years before that, I was a wreck. But I am nowhere how I felt like that at all. I'm no longer depressed. I feel very good, and I'm trying to do positive things, and I don't understand what this emotional work is.
Okay, Frank, maybe. I'm going to have to tell you I'm out of time. I'm going to make a request of you. I would like for you to call back in perhaps tomorrow, but call in earlier.
Okay.
Because at the bottom of the hour, then I have the time. But right now, we're out of time, and there's so much that I can share with you regarding this. I'd be delighted to do it. So,
thank you so much.
Just keep that, and then tomorrow we'll reread it in case we have some additional listeners that aren't, you know, listening today, because sometimes people can't listen to every single show. So if you'll call in earlier, then I'll be able to discuss it. But right now, I've got to go.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Frank. Look forward to having you call back in. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, hey, we are going to be tea-tapping. So I hope you can join us. Talk to you same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.